What issues around your house are staring you in the face this weekend?
Do I get the sanded grout or the unsanded grout?
The last 3 or 4 years, I've been fighting mildew issues.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Whatever questions you have.
This isn't real earth-shattering.
Lou is here to help.
I'm only taking earth-shattering questions. Can you give me an earth-shattering question?
Waking up, shaking yesterday's blues, yeah.
Yeah, here it comes.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
It's a brand new day.
Welcome in. Good morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio. Our show is sponsored this hour by Ace Hardware and by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. How'd you survive this polar vortex? It was cold. Oh, my gosh, was it cold. And for those of you that have been dripping water, you can stop dripping water. I got a couple of text messages and via Twitter and Facebook and stuff. Hey, when can we stop? Yesterday, early in the morning, when can we stop dripping the water? And I said, after breakfast. So I think we're out of the woods. I mean, it's actually warm today. Lindsay and I got out of the car this morning, and we both commented on how warm it was. And it's crazy because it's still, I don't know, what is it, 32 degrees outside or even less than that, right? Nuts. So how'd you do, Joe? You survived the polar vortex?
I did all right. Car had a little trouble starting when I had to leave the place, but no, it wasn't too bad.
Don, you were good?
Yeah, I did. Actually, in my apartment, the pipes burst yesterday, but the people came and cleaned it up while I was out at dinner, and then they did a great job cleaning, too. So
wow.
My place is fine now.
Wow.
Did you leave your water running?
I did not. I failed on that regard, so it was my bad.
And what I can do to help you, Don, to give you the advice, if you don't follow it, you're on your own, my friend, okay?
I know. I deserved it.
That's all right. Don wearing his Green Bay Packer pullover this morning. Lindsay will probably come in there and give you a hug.
Yay.
She loves the Packers.
Then it was worth it.
Yep. Right. So, anyway, Don's last day today, the Packer.
Dang it.
It's his last day because he's wearing his Packer stuff today.
Well, you know what?
Nice working with you, Don.
Yeah, you too, Lou. This has been fun.
312-981-7200 is our phone. You know what's coming up this weekend? Coming this following weekend is the auto show, which is always a lot of fun, especially for those of us that love cars. A little bit later on this morning, we're going to talk with J.C. Phelan, who is actually the chairman of the Chicago Auto Show's First Look for Charity, and he's also the owner of Jack Phelan Chevrolet and Jack Phelan Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. And I'll be at that First Look of Charity with my friend Lynn Bramer, doing the auction for Misericordia. There's all these great organizations that have these party rooms for the evening, and it's a huge fundraiser all put on by the Chicagoland Dealer Group, all the auto dealers of all different manufacturers, new car dealers, who put on the auto show. And if you're looking for a car, my gosh, this is the place to go. It's a lot of fun to see all the new stuff that's out there as well. So we'll talk with J.C. Phelan coming up a little bit later on this morning. But we want to get to as many of your phone calls today. I'm sure we've got some post-polar vortex questions that will kind of be what we talk about a lot today. Let's talk to Hazel this morning, who is in Wisconsin. Hi, Hazel. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
Oh, okay. I live in a house here with the old-fashioned radiators. And every year when it gets to be really cold, I worry about the furnace quitting or the power going out and my radiator is freezing up and bursting. So I sit up at night and listen to it, hoping everything stays okay. So then I think if it would freeze up, I'd have to drain the radiators. So my question has been for a long time, is it possible to put antifreeze or something in the system?
Well, okay. You stay up late because you think the power is going to go out.
Or the furnace will quit, one or the other.
Right. Well, why don't we figure out a way for you not to have to stay awake, that if you were to lose power or something like that, there'd be a way for you to... I mean, here's the thing. If you lost power All right, let's just use the polar vortex as an example. Had you lost power at, you know, midnight, your house would not freeze up by 6 in the morning.
Even if it's 30 below.
Even if it's 30 below. It's going to hold enough heat at that point before the temperature gets down. But now, if you're worried about losing power, then why don't you think about putting in a backup generator that is automatic that you could invest in, that if the power went out within literally 15 to 20 seconds, it kicks on and it will provide power to your home as well as your furnace to keep things working.
Well, that's an idea, but I'm 90 years old, so I don't think I want to do that.
Okay, well then, do you just want to stay up at night and worry about this stuff?
That's what my kids say.
Right. I mean, you know, it's all a question of peace of mind, right? And and if you're the antifreeze idea, I mean, you can put stuff like that into the system, but the problem is an old radiator system, you always have to constantly add water to it typically because of evaporation, and so you would have to figure out a way that it would be added to that that wouldn't just be water. I would not worry about it. It's not a big issue. Sleep through the night. You probably don't, you know, you probably get up at a normal time, whatever. Your house will not freeze, I promise you. What time do you normally go to bed, Hazel?
I don't know. 10 o'clock.
Maybe. 10 o'clock. And what time do you typically get up? On a beautiful spring day, what time do you go to bed?
It's hard to tell. Sometimes I go to bed early, get up early. Sometimes I go to bed late, and I still get up early at my age.
You are, you have nothing to worry about. If you're getting stuff serviced right, if it were to go out for some reason in the middle of the night, the house will not freeze up like a block of ice, and you'd have enough time to call somebody to have it fixed. If you don't want to do any kind of backup generator like that, you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, but my other question is, those old radiators, are they still for sale someplace in case you do have that happen?
You mean like an old stand-up radiator?
Yeah, that's the kind I have.
Absolutely. There's plumbing. There's the you can buy them new, but there's also plumbing supply houses that sell used ones where you can find them and they can be installed and new valves put in there, but the radiators themselves literally just keep working. So you absolutely can find all that. That's not a problem.
Okay, that's all I need to know, I guess. So,
all right.
Now I should relax.
You should relax and sleep when you want to sleep and not worry about everything freezing up. It's not going to freeze up. Lindsay, she's 90 years old. She goes to bed at 10 o'clock. That's just like you.
No, she beats me.
You're already in bed before 10 o'clock. Right, but are you worried about your house freezing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you two are like sisters. You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGM. We'll be right back.
Back to your host of House Smarts Radio, Lou Manfredini, on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Kim in Pingree Grove. Hi, Kim. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
Our garage door button on the wall, like the doorbell button, has broken. And we're wondering if we can replace it with a regular doorbell, or do we have to worry about voltage with that?
Well, how do we know the button is broken?
It doesn't work.
Okay.
Like it collapsed.
Oh, it fell apart.
Like it fell apart, like a broken side.
Yeah, and does the button have a... It's not like a button that has a lock feature or a light feature. It's just a button.
Oh, it might light up in the garage when it's dark. But.
No. But in other words, some of the garage door buttons are a little bit more... The buttons themselves are a little larger, and there are two...
No, it's like a doorbell. It just pushes the door up and down.
All you need is a doorbell.
Yep.
It's all low voltage, and you're fine.
Yeah, because we were looking at the doorbells, and they're all don't exceed these volts, don't exceed these volts, and it doesn't say you could use it for a garage door. So.
Yeah, it's low voltage, so you'll be fine.
Okay, great.
You got it. Appreciate you calling. Bye bye. Have a good day. Stay warm as we're getting out of this freezing cold temperatures. Let's talk to Craig, who's in Lincolnshire. Craig, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I live in Lincolnshire, and I'm in a house that's a ranch house. It's about 100 foot long that my wife and I have been in for about 14 years. We anticipate being in there at least for another 5, maybe 7 years because of her parents being up there in age. Anyways, we have 2 crawl spaces on each end of the house, one that's approximately 21 by 17 and the other one's 27 by 17. And what I'd like to know is I installed bat insulation. I'd like to know if it's worth the investment to pull that out and install this closed cell spray foam, like 3 inches of spray foam put in to better insulate the house. We did the sill plate years ago, probably about 8-10 years ago when the state was offering, or the federal government was offering rebates, so yeah. We had the sill plates done.
Right.
So I'd like to know your thoughts on that.
Well, let me ask you this. What are the issues that you're having? In other words, is the floor cold?
Yeah, we have hardwood flooring in the TV room that's next to the garage, and there's a pantry and hardwood floors in the half bath bathroom, I guess we want to call it that, in the kitchens. And the closer to the exterior of the walls is where it's colder. And I know in the master bedroom, which is on the west side of the house, the carpeted floor in there near the close exterior of the wall is cold.
Right.
It is cooler than everywhere else. And it's about 50, the furnace is about 50, 60 foot run from, to the master bedroom from where it is centrally located in the basement.
Right.
And I know that the master bedroom is approximately 4 or 5 degrees cooler than the rest of the house based upon where the thermostat is set. Like if it's at 68, 69, the master bedroom is going to be about 63 or 64 degrees.
And does the trunk line that feeds the master bedroom, does that run through that crawl space as well?
Yes, it does. And I installed that insulation. I put wood joists, I don't know if you call them joists, but framed around it to put 8-inch bed insulation around it to try to insulate it a bit.
Okay.
Because it's rectangular.
Right. Okay, so you did insulate that trunk line.
Yes.
Okay, here's the issue. Spray foam insulation will certainly give you more density and will help to keep more of the cold air from the crawl space to permeate up into the living space of your home. But it isn't going to necessarily warm everything up in the sense that I don't want you to have this misconception like, oh, this is going to solve all my problems. It will be better, but it won't be great. And so you have to kind of look at that and say, how much money am I going to spend to have this done? Because it's an expensive proposition. And what is the net benefit of it? If your bedroom, if the ultimate issue is that the master bedroom is colder than the rest of the house, and that's really where you need the help, then maybe you're better off investing some money there in some supplemental heating system to offset that as opposed to adding different insulation. And I think that you'll get a bit more bang for your buck. Look, if you did that insulation in those crawl spaces, you could easily spend $3,000 to $5,000 to have that work done. No question. For $3,000, you could do a split system and have a supplemental heating system put in that bedroom, and you could control it perfectly, and you could have your own thermostat, and you'd be done.
So I would contact my HVAC.
Whoever you're using for HVAC, okay, and say, hey, talk to me about one of these split systems, and what would that cost me to install it to have my own separate thermostat for the bedroom to really make that heat source better? And then long term, when you go to sell the house, they'll be like, what's that? And you're like, that's a game changer for your master bedroom. That way you have complete control because of the layout of the house. And I think that that's money better spent than the insulation. Appreciate the phone call.
Got a problem around your house you just can't figure out? You might want to call Lou, just saying. He's taking your calls live right here, right now on House Smarts Radio. On the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Well, it started out.
Welcome back.
Got a dirty road.
You know, one of our number one fans is Pete McMurray.
Started out.
And he said, tell Hazel, I've had a lot of worries in my life, and most which never happened. Mark Twain. Good job, Pete. As across the hill. Pete McMurray, heard Sundays now here on WGN Radio, I believe 1 to 3 with Jane Manzuras. I heard somebody on the radio station call her Jane Manzel. Who's my... why do I know that name Manzel? Manzel is somebody. It's not Jane, though. It's Manzuras. Anyway, Manzel. I got to think about that. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. My name is Lou Manfredini, and your name is Pete, and you're in Barrington. Pete, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Lou, I'm a big fan.
Thank you, Peter.
My 24-year-old furnace died on Tuesday night.
Oh.
Yeah. Luckily, I'd done some research, and I replaced it. But now I'm looking at the efficiency part of the equation, and... the installers that I got quotes from recommended something called AeroSeal to line the ductwork,
right?
Which was about 35% of the cost of the furnace. Excuse me, one second. And I'm wondering if I should do that because I'm looking at increasing the airflow in the returns. And is it worth it?
17 years ago, I had AeroSeal done to the house that we live in now. And the change in the overall comfort in that home afterwards was unbelievable. And one of the things that what I remember from... So I'll give you an example. So the house that we live in now actually was, when we remodeled it, had old ductwork and then had new ductwork that we installed as part of the room addition. And the old ductwork was the one that was really suffering. So the average furnace works on about 1500 CFMs. Okay. When it's operating. So that's how much air it's pushing. And what they can do with this AeroSeal is they can measure the amount of output. And again, every furnace is different, but they can monitor the output of what CFMs are pumping out and then what you're getting into the home. We were losing 800 CFMs of the 1500 that was just getting dumped into,
the
walls and the environment. Yeah, I'm not in the environment where we were living. Okay.
That's called efficiency. You're losing massive efficiency.
Lack of efficiency for sure. So when they did the AeroSeal, and they will tell you that they can seal a hole as big as about 5/8 of an inch. The loss, there'll always be some loss, right? But the loss was less than 105 CFMs.
Okay.
So I went from, that huge number of what we were pumping out, and it really did make a difference. Now, it's expensive, there's no question about it, but it's a unique service that not many people do. But I'm a proponent of it. I like it, and I think you'll be amazed. Is it an added value proposition? Maybe. When you go to sell someday, you can say, "Oh, and I had all the ductwork sealed. The system, this house is really warm." You will feel the difference. The way they'll judge it too is, they'll take they have this device, basically it's a heat gun where they can register the temperature coming out of the vents. And they'll show you that, where you're leaking all this air, one of the ducts, maybe it's kicking out 100 degrees. The other duct, it's kicking out 70 degrees because the efficiency's so far off.
Right.
Long term, that furnace is running, and it really, while the efficiency's great, it's really more about the overall comfort. And that's where you'll really feel the difference.
I got one more quick question.
Sure.
I'm fortunate enough to have two return lines parallel, going back to two furnaces. Can I tie in one return line to another and kind of like suck air off of both returns instead of just using the single return for each furnace?
So the return lines are to individual furnaces?
Yeah, I have two furnaces right next to each other.
Right, but
the return lines are big, long ductworks. So
Separately. They run by separate thermostats, correct?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so the issue there is if you were to tie them together, you, in theory, would have one furnace running while the other is not, and it would be drawing return air from a space without supplying any additional heat or cooling.
Is that a good idea?
No.
Because
the way a forced air furnace works, it's not about just pumping and returning. It's about pumping and returning and treating that air so that you're creating this loop, right?
Yeah.
And so the loop, the whole idea is that in a perfect world, I'm pumping out as much CFN as I'm taking back in, and I'm heating that air consistently. And so, mixing those two would not be something that I think would be wise from an overall comfort level. Pete, thanks so much for the phone call. Appreciate you joining us on the show. 7:45 in the morning. We'll be right back.
This is Henrietta from Aalborg in Denmark. You Americans might come to Denmark for hygge and æbleskivers, but I come to the U.S. for House Smarts Radio and my favorite, Echo Waffles. Now back to Lou and Fredini right here on House Smarts Radio. Hi, hi.
Sounds like a good combo to me. Waffles and Lou. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Hi, hi. I want to say hi, hi, and later we'll talk about how I want to say I don't wear any pants because it doesn't bring me joy. Joe Brand, do you know the organized woman that's on Netflix and the books? Marie
Kondo. Yeah,
yeah, right, right. Is that a thing? I think your fiance would kind of be into Marie Kondo, right?
we did watch a couple episodes a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So my wife said you have to watch this woman. Because, you know, it is a, and somebody tweeted something about me and it made some comparison to Marie Kondo. And at first I was like, wait, I know who that is. But anyway, so I watched a couple episodes of this. She is, for those that don't know, she is this lovely Japanese woman who has written several books on getting organized, and her whole like kind of premise of what she talks about is that things in our lives need to bring us joy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That and so if they don't bring you joy, you should get rid of them. And what I think is super interesting about this television thing that I watched on Netflix, she really doesn't speak English.
No.
She's Japanese, right? She's this cute little thing. She runs around with her interpreter, and she will describe on the air, like, whatever, this is how you should do this. Completely in Japanese with subtitles. I mean, think about that meeting where I got this idea for a TV show. All right. Now, just for a minute, put aside the fact that she doesn't speak English, right? And we're going to do this in the U.S. But it was, I could see where people would really enjoy the idea of looking at people who are completely unorganized and she whips them all into shape.
You know who really makes their money in that show are the editors, because they probably have to chop out the whole, you know, middle talking of first Marie Kondo talking and then it being interpreted. You know, they do a good job of chopping it all up.
Oh, right, sure, right.
Fluent. But yeah, I think the whole premise of it is clear space, clear living environment, clear mind. You know,
right.
Or everything has a place in your house. It's essentially just the whole theory of, you know, erasing clutter from your house.
Right.
Which I do
can't
believe.
Stand clutter. I really.
And
yeah.
She
really
doesn't wear pants because it doesn't bring her joy. Which
you
I think
have
would
to
be the fun.
That.
But I think it would be the funniest
something.
T-shirt. No, she wears a skirt. But I just think that would be the funniest T-shirt for I don't know, for anybody. I don't wear pants because.
3% of the people that would get that.
Or anybody who wears
like,
kilts.
Right. I would wear a kilt.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, you're on record for enjoying, during the summer breeze. Yeah, there
oh
we go.
Oh, my gosh. That would be the best. I don't wear pants because it doesn't bring me joy. That is just so funny.
It's probably going to be the title
I know that
book.
It's just the thing that...
She could do it because it's her motto. Your motto, I'm not quite...
I don't have a motto.
Get it.
I don't get it. I need a motto.
Mottos are fluid. You can totally make
right.
this work.
Her motto is, I don't wear pants because they don't bring me joy. That is hilarious. And
like she sits in the room and she sort of brings in the room.
The clothes pile?
I did see a sad episode. One of the episodes was this woman who lost her husband. And she had adult children and she had all this stuff. And then you know, you have this empathy for, you know, so I see how you get sucked in. And she's this cute little thing. I mean, she's teeny tiny. And she shows up in this minivan. And so anyway, check it out on Netflix.
It's like Fixing Hoarders.
There is nothing better. I love the feeling of throwing a trash bag of stuff away.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is just purging.
It's nice.
Take it.
I know.
Physical weight.
We are the same way. We're not. I mean, I know for a lot of people who are super sentimental. I mean, we were at dinner last night. I mentioned when I was talking with Mike. We were at dinner last night. And my buddy Mike is like super sentimental. He keeps stuff like, oh, well, but this block of wood. I mean, literally, it's like this block of wood, right? And there's just, he admits it. You know, well, that box of screws. Remember, we bought that box of screws when we were in business together. I go, I'll get you another box of screws.
That's cute.
And that's how cute. So
my thing is the kids' art projects, art things.
Well, yeah, but that's
every
right,
day.
Of course.
And then they're like, Mom, what? Yeah. You what just is need this a, in the trash for?
Yeah. You need a deadline for those.
Daddy
like,
did it.
We had a bunch of those framed.
Well, I keep some of them.
Right.
I mean,
so
like that
just take some of them and then you
the
frame
ones.
Them like,
right.
you know, the handprint ones
right,
from,
right.
you know, I've got a son who's 25 and I've got like a handprint thing where he made some penguins and it's framed and hangs on the wall. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. But I mean, how many of those things can you have?
I think like would I like to pass this down to my kids? Like I've got a bunch of Fry boots, which I am in love with. And a lot of them I don't wear anymore. So I'm like, it doesn't bring me joy anymore. But
wait,
would
what are
I
Fry
pass
boots?
Them down?
It's a brand.
No.
Like a leather boot.
I used to have a pair of Fry boots.
You threw them away.
Yeah, my wife didn't like me wearing cowboy boots, and I loved them. Cowboy boots are the most comfortable things to wear.
They really are.
Yeah.
Not in the snow. They're very slow.
Not in the snow.
Snow ruins all clothes.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. It just has to bring you joy. I love that part of it. Like, that whole thing, I'm loving it. Sam is in Bloomington. Sam, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Lou, I've got a quick question for you. My wife and I live in a bungalow that has the original windows. It's about a 90-year-old home, but it has old aluminum storm windows over the original single-pane windows. We get a lot of draft, and I was wondering what your thoughts were about replacement storm windows.
Well, the windows themselves look okay and they operate, all that stuff works.
Yeah, and the woodwork is great. We love the original windows.
I have zero problem with new storm windows. Probably the name in storm windows is Larson, and they make a good, better, best. You got to find a Larson dealer down by you. But I mean, installed correctly, they look nice. They will give you the added, sort of like a thermal pane. The issue with the old original windows, 90 years old, you're going to leak a fair amount of air, warm air from the inside of the house. And so the problem is when it hits that storm window, then it condensates and then you get a lot of fogging.
Okay. All right.
So if you're going to keep the original windows in the winter months, what probably makes the most sense is to do some sort of removable caulking around those windows to try and seal them up. And then in the springtime, peel that away.
Okay. All right.
But I have no problem with new aluminum storms. They serve the purpose. They look really nice. They give you lots of glass space, so you're not, like, constricting what you're looking at. And you get the best of both worlds, and you save a little bit of money, too, because storms obviously cost a lot less than replacement windows if that's not in the budget. Sam, thanks so much for the phone call. Let's talk to Jim, who's in Chicago. Jim, you're on WGN. Hi. Good morning.
Morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I have a problem. There's our patio doors, and like a foot above that, we can see a crack along the whole room. Not really a crack, but like an indentation. And I don't know if it's the header or whatever separating or no problem at all. But now it seems like the paint is chipping along that strip
So this is all the framing above the door. There's no issue with the door itself. The door is still operating?
Correct. No issue with the door. It's just above the door, like on the wall. A foot above the top of the door is this line that runs
horizontally?
Horizontal to the door, yeah.
Okay. And if you put your hand up there, in other words, you said there was like an indentation. Does it feel as though like that header has moved, like it's tilted a little bit?
Not that much, but it's like you can notice like a wave or like a slight indentation.
Huh. Okay. And what is the exterior of the home, Jim?
Aluminum siding.
And when you look on the outside, you don't see any difference out there at all?
No, nothing out there. We've had like new roofs put on and new aluminum siding put on, and nobody ever said anything about a problem.
Okay.
Just this.
Well, I mean, it could be an issue. There is a header there. You know, typically it's a 2x10 or 2x12, usually two of them, that span the opening from one side to another. If mm-hmm. you're not seeing any evidence of any cracking in the ceiling, or
evidence in the ceiling,
and is there anything above this? Is there a second floor?
No.
Okay, so it's the attic space.
Correct.
And is this new that this has occurred, or has it happened, or this has been there for a while?
It's been there for a while, but we kind of notice it more now. Right. We thought first it was like just a shadow, but
yeah,
now that we look at.
My guess is it could be a little bit of some racking or some warping of the header itself, which is why you're seeing that indentation. If you're not seeing evidence of any problems on the outside, or if you can get into the attic space above and make sure there's no framing issue up there, and you're not seeing any cracking at the ceiling, I bet it's just something that you have to you can either skim over to level it off with some joint compound, or just leave it and not have to worry about it. I don't think that it's, if there's no structural issue and the door is still operating properly, I think you're okay, and I wouldn't worry about it, Jim.
Now back to your host, your go-to handyman, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This hour, House Smarts Radio, sponsored by Fox Home Center and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Remember, we did a broadcast once out in Woodstock for their version of the... They do a whole thing out of Woodstock still, don't they? Where we did
they do.
Yeah.
Right, they have their own Woodstock whatever.
It's a big deal.
Woodstock Willie.
I wore a tuxedo and a top hat, remember, at the broadcast?
No, you did not.
I did. There's a picture. I had a top hat.
But no pants.
I had no pants because why? Why, Joe?
Because they do not bring joy.
They do not bring me joy. I just wore a jacket, and there's a picture of me holding a hat with their stuffed animal groundhog.
And your face painted, and
the groundhog bit me. No, it didn't bite me.
Oh man,
where were we at? We were at. Remember, it was a really fun. It was snowing.
Yes.
Remember, it was really hard to get out there.
We featured the crane fireplace heater. I don't know why.
Oh my gosh, that's a good memory. We had a really nice crowd out there. It was fun. Next week, Joe and Don, we're going to be Lindsay and I will be out at Pheasant Run for the Old House, New House Home Show live broadcast, so we will not be in the studio.
Man.
And people can come out and join us. It's going to be Saturday, February 9th. I'll be broadcasting from 7 to 10 a.m. Everyone's welcome. No need to register. Enjoy the coffee and pastries. I do think that's why everybody comes out, is for the coffee and pastries. Hey, let's go out there and get some free coffee and pastries, and we'll listen to Lou, too.
That's why I go.
It's right by Cougarville.
Oh,
that's right by Cougarville. Hey, how's that going, by the way? When are we going to do a thing on a Saturday?
I like it. Our first three Saturday home games are day games. So they're at 1. So that opens up the opportunity a little bit more.
Okay. So who do we have to go to get this done?
I think
the media relations people over there?
Yeah, I think he's working right now.
Well, I understand. But in other words, let's make this all happen. Let's make it... How about we do it with some sort of philanthropic thing? Right?
Like that.
Right? So we have some philanthropic angle in the spring where we do something out there at Kane County. We go out there, we broadcast. I want to be on the field. Can we do that?
I think we can make that happen.
Okay. And then you'll be there, and then you can stay there, right?
We'll
do it in the morning, right?
You're gonna have to wear pants, though.
Okay. That's fine. I'll wear baseball pants.
Okay.
Because those bring me joy.
Wasn't Philanthropic Angle your high school band, Lou?
It was.
That's a good
one. Well, anyway, next week we're going to be out there. Everyone's welcome. No need to register. You just come out and have some fun. You can stop by and meet me as well after the broadcast from 11:30 to 12:30. I'm going to be at the PermaSeal booth inside the show. So if you want to come a little bit later on and get some questions answered, I'm happy to do that as well. You can get more information at WGNradio.com/events. Next Saturday, February 9th at Pheasant Run Resort in St. Charles, sponsored by Lineman Chimney Company at cleanfireplace.com and also sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Their website is permaseal.net. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, and this is Jamie in Mount Prospect. Jamie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a question about tankless water heaters. I moved into a house about a year and a half ago, and we have a 10-year-old tankless model that we've had to have serviced about 3 or 4 times already. And so we're looking at replacing it, and didn't know if you had any models that you recommend or anything.
Whose brand is it?
The one we have is a Rheem.
Okay.
And
how old is it?
It's 10 years old.
Hmm. I mean, the life expectancy is 20, but...
I know. That's what we've been told, but we have had several people out, and we just keep having problems with it. Currently, we get about 3 minutes of hot water, and then it shoots an error code at us and stops giving us hot water until we reset it.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah.
You know, the technology has improved drastically in 10 years. We've had an on-demand water heater at our house now for, I don't know, 8 years. Mm-hmm. The company that we have, which I really like this company, is out of business. And you can only buy them in Canada now. And, they had a bunch of recalls and there was a problem with the unit and it got replaced on the one that we have, but I've had zero problems with it. But some of the brands that to look at are, first of all, everything is made in Asia, and so everybody else that has one, you know, even like Rheem, I don't believe makes their own. It's made by somebody else. Takagi, which is a longtime Japanese brand, they make it. They make their brand on Takagi, and they're also under the State brand as well. Actually, the folks at Dykstra Home Services install those State brand water heaters. Another one that I really like is called Navion.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's South Korean based, and they're very good. The issue with them now is that the gas piping can be the same size as a regular heater. It used to be that you had to upsize all that, and now the technology's gotten so much better that the one thing that I will tell you, Jamie, is when you have this put in, whomever you have doing it, I need the system to be able to have valves in it so that you can rinse the heat exchanger.
Okay.
So this is critical because they all talk about in the manufacturing process that you need to be able to treat and clean the heat exchanger because of scale buildup. And so essentially I need two separate valves put in where you can shut off the system, but then you have the ability to pour a cleaner into one side and evacuate it out on the other.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
So
sounds good.
Give that a shot.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm still a fan of it. It's a lot of times when we have these issues with them not holding up like they should, it's because of a lack of proper maintenance. Most of them are still using commercial grade copper heat exchangers because it generates the heat better. But if you can find units that have stainless steel heat exchangers, they're not quite as efficient, but I think they're more durable long term for your system to be able to use it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
He's taking your calls till 10.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Lou Manfredini.
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
Here he is now on House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200. Dean is in Plainfield. Hey, Dean, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Schmandini.
How can I help you?
I don't know. I have four bathrooms and three different showers. The pipes froze up, and I had all the cabinet doors open and actually turned the heat up two notches, and all of a sudden the whole second floor of the house, even the toilets wouldn't flush. So I turned the heat up one more notch, you know. Now it's warming up a little bit, but I figured the ground's still frozen, you know. Do I keep all the faucets dripping still?
Is everything free now? Is everything flowing properly?
Free now, yeah. And unfortunately, one of the bathrooms is over the garage, and I had the trim around the door changed because the rubber on it
right
wasn't looking quite right. And they put this cheap-ass garbage on there, and I could see daylight coming through it, you know.
Right.
But I didn't expect a winter this cold.
No.
My garage to stay 50 degrees.
Right. I think that you're good to go with, you know, you don't have to keep things dripping. If everything's working properly now, you don't have to keep the water dripping. That goes for everybody that did that during this super cold weather. The ground is still rock hard, don't get me wrong, but as long as you've got water flowing, the water service should not freeze because it's typically, you know, 6-7 feet below the ground, and frost level around here is 42 inches. Even with that kind of weather that we had the couple of days, it could go lower, but the frost level. But, you know, we're warming up right now, and so I think you're going to be okay. And there will be some of you that have frozen pipes where you still might get a burst. My biggest concern with a lot of you is if you left garden hoses on outdoor spigots. Earlier this week, we did a kind of impromptu Facebook Live and Instagram Live where we answered a bunch of questions. And I was really surprised by how many people participated in the Facebook Live broadcast, but that also said they still had their faucets, or rather their hoses on their outside faucets. Here's my concern with that. The hoses have water in them, and as it starts to freeze, the water can go up through the faucet. And if it's a frost-proof faucet, meaning that you typically don't have to do anything with it but shut it off, the way that works is it's a long pipe, typically about 12 inches long. The handle on the outside, and the valve is actually on the warm side of the house. So it's a pipe that goes through the wall, you know, it can be 12 inches long or so. But if the water gets up into that pipe that's not part of the valve, that pipe will burst. You won't know that pipe is cracked until spring when you turn the water on. Leave yourself a note because you're going to forget about this. Right now you're like, oh, we made it. It's not leaking. Nothing's leaking. But when you go to turn it on, that pipe could be cracked in between there, between the valve and the handle. And when you go to turn the water on, water will come out of the spout. But it'll also come out of the crack in the pipe, and you'll have water going inside the wall. So be very careful with that. And if you've been trickling water for this polar vortex, you can stop doing that now and go back to normal.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. I listen
sure.
every Saturday.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I listen to it every Saturday morning.
Lou, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. You're how-to.
Don't be scared. Pick up the phone. Give Lou a call. He's live taking your questions till 10 right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Welcome back. When the papa found out, he began to shout. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. It's against the law. 2019 First Look at Charity is projected to raise $2.5 million for 18 Chicagoland charities. The Black Tie Preview Gala is to be held Friday, February 8th at McCormick Place. Joining me on the phone line right now is J.C. Phelan, who is chairman of the Chicago Auto Show's First Look at Charity, and he is the owner of Jack Phelan Chevrolet and Jack Phelan Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. J.C., good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, Lou. How are you doing this morning? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. Full disclosure, you and I know each other, have known each other for quite some time. You are, as mentioned, you are not only an owner of a Chevrolet dealership, but also a Dodge dealership, and we've worked together with the Chevy dealer group here in the Chicagoland area. But the auto show really is an involvement of all the new car dealers in the area, correct?
That's correct. It's the it's the country's largest auto show, and it really represents every manufacturer around in the area. So it's a great way to kick off our market coming out of the doldrums of January.
Right.
We're really excited about this First Look for Charity night coming up Friday.
I've had the opportunity for a number of years to participate in it with my friends over at Misericordia, who are one of the 18 charities. But this is something that you all, as a dealer body, you know, auto dealer group in the Chicagoland area, you put this out, essentially providing this space and this event for these charities to raise money.
That's right. We're in our 28th year. We've raised over $50 million. It's a great night of food, cocktails, entertainment, bands. But ultimately, it's about the 18 charities because the funds that are raised are so important to them to really kick off the programs that they support.
Right. I mean, you know, for me, being someone that loves cars, I've always loved the auto show even before the First Look at Charity. But, you know, you have an opportunity to buy these tickets, make a donation to, the charity of your choice. As you mentioned, there's 18. I mean, there's organizations like The Cradle or Turning Point for Autism. There are Catholic charities are there. Misericordia is there. The 100 Club of Chicago. Boys and Girls Club of Chicago. The complete list is at firstlookforcharity.org, and you can buy tickets to the gala. It's $275, which, you know, is a good ticket. But one of the things that I know you all have prided yourself on is a high percentage of that ticket goes directly to the charity.
Yeah, that's correct. And so if you go to firstlookforcharity.org, you have an option. You can either pick one charity that maybe is close to your heart, or you could check a box and all the charities benefit from it. So it's really, really a nice setup.
You get to walk around, as you mentioned, for this event. There's live entertainment on the show floor. There's food stations, really interesting food stations throughout the place. You wouldn't imagine that you could get such interesting, delicious food at an event like this, but it really is a fun way to kind of see it. And it seems to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but at this event, it seems like you get a little more access to the vehicles than you would during the regular show. Is that true?
Yeah, as I said, this is the busiest auto show in the country. So this night really gives you a chance to kind of get up close and personal without any lines. We also have some test tracks this year that are really really an exciting feature. The Camp Jeep is back again with their test track, which is very popular. Ram has a test track also with their new pickup truck. Kia is also going to be offering a test track, and one that's new and really exciting is Land Rover, which I'm sure is going to be very popular.
Right. I think what's also unique about coming to these auto shows is, you know, for a lot of people, you know, maybe they're maybe they've always bought a Chevrolet their whole life, or maybe they've always been Ford people and whatever it might be. But you come to these auto shows and you get a chance to see, boy, I mean, just about any car that a new car dealer is selling, whether it's a Maserati or a BMW or a
our Mercedes, plus the trucks that you talked about. I mean, it's really a chance to see a lot of different brands all in one spot, and you'd be amazed at what you can see.
Yeah, it's really nice, you know, all under one roof. Not dealing with the elements of, you know, walking on the lot and in this in the cold weather we've had. And being able to walk around and grab a bite to eat and maybe have a beer, and it's really enjoyable for the people of Chicago.
J.C. Phelan is the chairman of the Chicago Auto Show's First Look at Charity and the owner of Jack Phelan Chevrolet, Jack Phelan Dodge Chrysler Jeep and Ram. First Look at Charity, as I mentioned, is taking place on February 8th at McCormick Place. You can learn more by going to firstlookforcharity.org. JC, so nice to speak with you. I look forward to seeing you Friday night.
Sounds good, Lou. See you Friday.
Take care. That's great. Really a fun event. It's really. Have you ever been to the First Look of Charity, Lindsay, where you go there? Have you ever gone?
I have. I went with you and your lovely wife.
Oh, yeah. Everybody gets done. What I always get a kick out of is that, you know, certainly the men are in, it's black tie, right? Mm-hmm. So men are typically in tuxes, and the women are dressed to the nines mm-hmm. with the 4-inch heels. And then typically one of the dealers give away slippers.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great, that's like what I remember.
And you see all these women walking around with their high heels in their hands with their little slippers on, which is pretty fun. They're smart. Walking around on concrete and high heels, not
like, oh, look at that car over there. I'm like, oh, okay. Well,
do I have to
just look at it from here? I can see it from here.
Yeah. I think I need to bring a different date as well. My wife could care less about cars, too. And me, I could go.
Oh, you could spend the weekend
day.
There. Yes.
Right. I don't care what shoes I'm wearing. I'll go barefoot and I'll walk around. It's so fun. My thanks to J.C., Phelan for joining us. And the Chicago Auto Show, First Look at Charity starts on the 8th, but then the actual show itself starts the next day. Let's see if I give you the particulars here. It goes through February 9th through President's Day, the 18th. The show hours are 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. each day. This is the 111th year of the event. It's affordable, too. Adult tickets are $13, 7 for seniors, 7 for children if you're 7 to 12, and free if you're under 7. Get this, nearly 1,000 cars, trucks, SUVs, and crossovers will be on display throughout the 1 million square foot exhibit space. Parking's just $10 in McCormick Place lots after 6 p.m. For tickets and information, visit ChicagoAutoShow.com. I know many of the dealers have programs where if you go there, they may have free tickets. So if you're thinking about trying to get a discounted ticket, you may be able to do so that way. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll get back to your phone calls right after these.
Back to your host of House Smarts Radio, Lou Manfredini, on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. James has been kind enough to hang on. James, how can I help you, sir?
Yeah, you there, Lou?
Yes, sir. How can I help you? Thanks for hanging on.
Well, I've been a victim of the water pipe bursting in my well, but I happened to be there when it happened.
Okay.
Problem is, about 20 to 30 gallons of water came out before we got it off. We had towels, blankets to soak it up. But it was on a laminate floor. We vacuumed it up. I think I heard it from one of your shows in the past. And we re-vacuumed the seams, okay? Fans, heaters, dehumidifier. Now, the floor is warping a little bit at the edges, but I've seen this before. And then will that go away?
Or well, was this floor underwater?
It never got underwater because when the pipe broke, I had some water sensors go off, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I was on top of it within 2 minutes.
Right.
But it was in the laundry room, so with the towels, the quilts, we just started throwing everything on top of it, took all that, threw it in the shower, came back, vacuumed it up, but some water did spread, but it wasn't on there. It wasn't on there long, and it's drying out. But my question is,
here's the thing: you're gonna know in a week.
Okay.
So what I would do is don't worry about the dehumidifier because you're not going to, with the dry air, you're not going to get any drier with the dehumidifier. Just keep a box fan on it.
Okay.
for the next week. On low, box fan, leave it on. And if it, you know, some laminate floors are water resistant. They're not waterproof. And you that little curling that you have, it may go back down or it might not. The fact that it's in a laundry room, it might be, it might go down enough where you're willing to live with what you have and go from there. But in a week, you're going to know how it's going to look for the rest of the time you have it.
Two additional questions. One, what about the mold issue?
Fresh water, if you dry it all out, I don't think I would worry about it. As long as you keep that fan on there, you're good. So don't worry about that.
Then the next thing I want to ask you, I found the pipe burst, and I'm going to fix it. Is there any type of insulation I should put around the pipe?
Where's the pipe?
It's in the northern wall. We had it on dripping, but evidently it just wasn't enough.
So it's the where it broke is in a wall, right?
Right. Already exposed.
Right. So I would get behind it with some insulation against between the pipe and the wall, and then I would also put pipe insulation on that pipe. And then in that area, because we know where it is now, where that happened, is that an area where, in other words, it had drywall in front of it before?
No, it's brick. It was brick, and then the pipes were about 4 inches off the wall, but it was just... It was just cold.
You know, so it was the pipe was exposed. It wasn't hidden anywhere.
Right.
Okay. So then we're going to put insulation around it. And then in the future, if we ever get these kinds of temperatures, right? I mean, how long have you lived in this house?
4 years.
Okay. And we've had some really cold weather in the last 4 years. Not like this. But if we ever get something like this, get a space heater down in that space just to keep it warmer so it doesn't happen again.
One last thing. Do they sell any type of unit where I can connect to my main water, and if any time you lose water pressure, a sensor goes off, it'll just send back to the main and just shut that water off immediately?
They do.
If you're on holiday.
They do.
They do. How much is something like that?
It's not an inexpensive proposition. It's a sensor that you put on your main line that if it senses, it learns how you live in your home, and if it senses water flow that it shouldn't be, it shuts the main off. It's probably a $500 option.
This is going to cost more than $500.
Oh yeah, no, I know, and that's the thing. When you tell people that, they're like $500, and you're like, yeah, but you know what I'm spending to fix all this now. So it is a water main shutoff system. If you Google that, you'll find it for sure. That's out there to be able to be installed. Thanks so much for the phone call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's keep talking to folks this morning. And let's see. Steve is in Aurora. Steve, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Morning, Lou. Thanks for answering all my questions. I'm sure you will.
Okay. How can I help you?
Okay. I've been helping my brother with do some things at his house, and he's got it would be a bungalow, I guess, if it was in Chicago, they call it that. But it has the front door is curved over the top. And so he has no storm door, and everybody goes, ooh, that's a custom. It's like, yeah, so what? I want to get a storm door. And it's about at the peak in the center, it's about 80 inches or so, and it's a wide door, maybe 36 wide.
Right.
And it's double wood. It's double tongue and groove wood. Out when you at the front of the house, it's vertical, and inside the house is horizontal, and one of the little diamond windows in it. But any suggestions where I could get another, even whether a wood storm door or an aluminum storm door made to fit that?
I mean, you absolutely can get a round top wood storm door, no question. And there's a whole bunch of. Where is the home?
In Aurora.
Yeah.
West side of Aurora.
Okay. I mean, there's plenty of online sources, but there's also, you know, if you can go to an independent lumber yard that sells doors and windows, I mean, out by you, I think isn't there still a Heinz Lumber out by you somewhere?
Not sure.
84 Lumber out by in Aurora?
Not sure. Most of the lumber places I see now are in the back of the big box store.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's that as well. But you can find... you an independent lumber yard that does doors and storm doors, and you can find a lot of online sources for it as well. You just got to get the arc, the arch right, so it fits properly. But you absolutely can get those round tops. If you look online, you'll find it.
Okay, can they get the radius if you measure up the
correct
straight up sides for the vertical on either side, left, right, and measure the absolute top?
Right.
Are they going to be the same as far as that arch?
You may have to do some shaping, right? So you have to come up the vertical point before it starts to curve. You have to establish that lower horizontal line, right, and then get the vertical top. And in a perfect world, you'd create a template, because again, it can vary.
Well, could a template be a good picture?
Well, a picture with a piece of like paper that you would trace would be the best thing, because then you could match that the radius to be for sure. But you know, the old trick in carpentry is when you can trace it better, because it fits better. Because who knows? It's an old house. And we're trying to put a modern door in there, but those arch top storm doors do exist. And if you go to a local lumber yard, they can get those things ordered for you. Appreciate the phone call. It is 8:58 in the morning. We'll be right back. Did you say there's trouble spots?
I did.
Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help you cultivate horse sense and a cool head and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try to give an ironclad leave to yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? But just as I say, it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score.
This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by Dykstra Home Services.
And I call that sloth the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. I say first, medicinal wine from a
teaspoon. Reason I'm playing this right now.
And the next thing you know, your son is...
Is our son Max is opening tonight at his theater company, Edge of the Wood, as Harold Hill in The Music Man. This is Harold Hill, played by Robert Preston. I'm super excited. And he's on his way right now to Carthage College up in K-Town. You love K-Town, and he's auditioning for their theater program up there. So good luck to my son. No trouble in River City until tonight. So, break a leg. Oh my God, this is such a good movie. This is such a good movie. It's like joyous, you know, when you're watching stuff and you just want to be happy. It's really fun.
Not like when you wear pants.
It brings me joy. I'll watch this movie with or without pants.
Double the joy.
Congratulations, Max. I'm looking forward to it tonight.
Can't wait to see it. I think we're coming Thursday.
Oh, that's great.
Very cool.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. This is Cristo in Aurora. Hello there.
Good morning, Lou. How are you today?
Great. How can I help you?
Well, a couple years ago, I bought my house and I replaced all the plumbing, heating, cooling, the whole bit. I went with a well-known Chicago company, and I don't want to say their name. But last May, my water heater started leaking. So they came out, they took a look at it, they replaced it. It was still under warranty. Well, after they replaced it, the hot water, it took about 2 minutes for the hot water to get hot to any tap, no matter where you are in the house, how close or how far. After having them come out several times, I'm talking like six, they did say it was a concern, but they didn't have any fix other than putting a recycler on there. The other houses in my neighborhood, nobody has a recycler, nobody has this problem. One other thing that I'll say is the guys that came out and looked at it said the water heater was hooked up wrong in the first place, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it. And I just want to see if there's anything I can do.
It was hooked up wrong to begin with. Okay, so the way it's hooked up right now is still the way that they said it's hooked up wrong?
No. When it was originally hooked up, there was a pipe going from the bottom up to the water feed. So you have your water in, your water out. And I don't know why that pipe was going from the bottom, like where
you normally would have like a drainage.
Right. Okay, so and was the wait.
So
so there was that, so that the drain spigot, they put a nipple on the end of that, and then the pipe came down, and then the spigot was on the outside of that, correct?
Well, originally there's a pipe. So out of the drainage pipe, there was a pipe coming out of it and leading up, connecting to where the water goes.
So that was a gravity-fed recirculating loop. And okay, now because that's been eliminated, that's why you're waiting so long for the water to get hot. So where is that pipe now?
They don't have a pipe on the drainage pipe. It's just the...
Right, but where is the pipe that was connected? In other words, it had to come from somewhere. Like when you... Are you home now?
Yeah, I'm looking at the water heater as we're speaking.
All right, when you look up, do you see a half-inch water line somewhere that has a cap on it that doesn't go anywhere?
No, there's two pipes coming out of the top of the water heater.
The cold and the hot. And then look up there, do you see any kind of smaller half-inch line that's running horizontally that isn't connected to anything?
No.
Look around.
No, I'm looking. There's two pipes coming directly out of it. One pipe I'm touching, there's one pipe that comes out of one of the pipes, and it's got an on-off valve, and then it's got a little tiny...
Nipple?
Pipe, but no, it's just an on and off valve.
Right, but it's an on and off valve to nothing?
There is one little small pipe that comes out of it, like a little thing, and that leads to my dehumidifier.
Right.
It's a healthy climate thing.
Right.
But that's it.
So, this is a newer home, correct?
The home itself is probably 1980.
Okay. What I'm guessing, because of the way you described that, when you had all this plumbing redone, and you had the old heater before it failed, were you waiting this long for hot water?
No.
No.
The old heater, we weren't waiting that long. The new heater, we weren't waiting that long. I mean, even my parents, when they came to visit, they would say, they were amazed at how fast the hot water came out.
Right. Because you had they eliminated the hot water return. So in other words, the recirculating pump that they talked about, you can do that same thing with gravity, meaning from the furthest fixture, which I don't know, what's the furthest fixture? The
probably the upstairs master bathroom.
There's a pipe, my guess, that comes from that hot water side that piped all the way back down, and it pipes to the bottom of the water heater where it was piped to that spigot. And so that creates a gravity loop. And so to your parents going, wow, I can't believe how hot water, this water is so quick. It's because the gravity loop went to the furthest one and it kept the hot water in the pipes. By them eliminating that return line, that's why you're waiting.
Okay, shouldn't they have put it right back how they had it before?
They should have.
Should I request that from them?
Correct.
This happened in May.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I've been gone here and there, and I haven't had a chance to get back to them. And I was just
My guess is you had some young plumbers that maybe have no experience with a gravity-fed return line.
Okay. We had young, experienced, older, younger, everybody came out six times.
Right.
And it was just getting a little bit old and ridiculous.
Right.
So I guess I'm going to call them one more time.
And say...
And then after that, I'm going to go with another plumber, because I literally 2 minutes to wait for the hot water to come through, even for the sink that's probably right above.
Right. Based on what you're describing to me right now and how it was hooked up before and you were not waiting for that water... There's a hot water recirculating gravity-fed line that's been eliminated that needs to be put back, and it does get piped into where that spigot is at the bottom of the water heater, and I would have them come back and fix it for sure. Thanks so much for the phone call. 9:20 in the morning. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGM. We were talking about, have you seen the movie Roma yet?
I have not. It's on my list before the big...
show.
Yeah. I got to talk to John Williams because there is a scene in the movie that I just don't know should be there.
You talking about Roma?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that last week.
And what did you think?
I liked it a lot more than I was kind of expecting to. It's definitely a slow burn, but it's a beautiful looking movie.
It's a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that is the, I think it was Dean Richards who said, you know, there's not much to the story, right? I mean, it's kind of a slow burn. But it is beautifully shot.
Yeah.
It's all black and white, and it's all in Spanish, so it's subtitles, which that doesn't bother me.
Right.
But there's one scene in the movie that doesn't, I don't know why it needs to be there. Oh, here comes John with his Where's Waldo glasses. I like the glasses, by the way.
Okay, your glasses are kind of Where's Waldo-ish, too.
I know, but his are thicker, right?
Yes, I just complimented on him. I love both of your
I really like... What does your wife think?
Actually...
Hold on. Go ahead.
Stand by. Actually, I did have the... Shortly after I wore the glasses, and I had a turtleneck sweater and a big hat on, and she said, "Where is Waldo?" But... I'm going for a Joe Madden vibe.
I like it.
That kind of sexy, grizzled.
No. I like it.
I think you guys both look like scientists from NASA in the 1960s.
What? Totally love that.
Right. I would love, like, you know what I want to look like? I want to look like one of the guys in Mission Control for Apollo 13,
That's what
where I have, like, a cigarette. And I'm in a white shirt, and a pocket protector.
Thin black tie.
Skinny tie, yeah.
Right, and I'm just at some computer that's the size of a Buick.
And you got a 1960s haircut, too. I mean, you've got that
short and
high
tight.
I probably need to cut mine back a little bit. But So, Roma.
Okay, do you know the scene I'm talking about?
No. Which one?
I'm going to get in so much trouble for my life. We were at dinner last... Huh?
Is this the doggy stuff?
What?
No.
Keep going.
No. There's a scene where, you know, the woman is seeing the guy. One of the women who is seen. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah,
but he does a whole martial arts thing,
right? Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Is there a reason for that?
You can say what you're thinking, what you
saw. Don't do it, Lou. Don't do it. You're going to get busted.
He's got his.
Oh yeah,
right. And I'm like,
he's not wearing clothes, and he does a martial arts performance.
But why does he need to be in the thing like that? Why couldn't he wear his tidy whities? Instead of seeing his...
I think that scene was in context.
I think maybe after the credits he mentioned that not wearing pants brings him some kind of joy.
That's Marie Kahlo.
So you saw that whole movie and that's what you came
what did I say?
Talking about?
What's her name?
It's Marie Kondo.
Kondo. Kahlo. Kondo. I think that scene was... It bothered me.
Well, it was shocking. You don't see full male frontal nudity that often.
For like 2 minutes.
But in a martial arts routine.
Yeah.
The shower rod.
Producer Griffin counseled me on this scene after the movie because he saw it as well. He said, "How often do you see female nudity? We can see male nudity. I mean, think about that for just a second. That's not the main point. I shouldn't speak out of school here because Griffin's just down the hall. But there was a reason for it, too, right? It was about his body and his martial art and how important that was to him and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he had recently showered. It didn't seem... have you seen Game of Thrones? That's gratuitous sex.
Yeah,
there's stuff in there that we just okay, fine.
Yeah, I think that I'm not a prude, but I don't need any of that. I don't need the female nudity either.
Okay, well, in this movie, they had that scene, and it didn't strike me as, oh boy, look at that. There was at least a reason for it. No, I'm not going to persuade you, huh? Okay. All right, well, goodbye, everybody.
But you coming up at 10 o'clock today?
Yep, coming up at 10 o'clock. By the way, we're also going to speak of movies, talk about the Fyre Festival documentaries.
Okay, that one I can talk about.
What?
I watched it.
Netflix or Hulu?
Which one did you watch? The Hulu or the Netflix?
Netflix.
Yeah, there's two movies, documentaries made about the Fyre Festival that took place in the spring of 2017. Actually,
didn't take place
in 2017.
Oh,
this guy,
the
Billy
one
McFarlane
on the island with the,
Bahamas with supermodels.
Did you like that? Did you like the documentary?
Yes, I did. It was
fantastic.
Yes.
If Rod Blagojevich were a concert promoter, this would be the movie.
This woman loves... It has a whole thing to do with drugs and stuff, right? Or no?
No, it's just...
No, this wasn't drug trafficking. This was a bunch of rich white kids who went to the Bahamas for a music festival that didn't happen.
Right.
And it's not about the music festival. It's about the promoter. It's about Billy McFarlane and what a con man he is. I mean, he's a quintessential, right? compulsive.
And people
liar.
Were giving him all kinds of money.
Unbelievable.
He sold some of the weekend packages, went for $49,000.
Wow.
And sold out.
Wow.
Because Kendall Jenner was going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite
influencers.
I know. I mean, if nothing, it would be like, you appreciate social media, Lou.
Sure.
This movie was a study in how you don't have to have a product. You need to have marketing.
Right.
If you get out on social media right, you can get people to give you millions of dollars and you have nothing behind the curtain.
It's a Bernie Madoff thing. It's the, you know.
Really, it's a total con.
Hmm.
And this guy, but the thing was, I mean, so the question to me watching the movie was, did he legitimately want to try to put on a festival?
Or was he kidding himself? That was my question too. But I thought that he really wanted to. It's not like he walked away with millions of dollars.
Was he a con guy taking money and had no intention, or did he just get in over his head and he was inept? But then I won't reveal this. Both movies talk about it. But then the last 20 minutes of the movie, I think you get an answer to that question.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Mm. At any time in the documentary, do you see?
Bye. Williams out.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Just a minute. I have to tell you, I went to Menards.
Yeah.
And I got a hold of a guy in the paint section. And he said, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my pad.
Next week, we're going to be at Pheasant Run, February 9th from 7 to 10 a.m. Everyone's welcome. No need to register. Come on out and enjoy coffee and pastries. And you'll get free admission to the home show that day. I'll also be at the PermaSeal booth inside the show starting at 11:30. Get more information at WGNradio.com/events. Next Saturday, February 9th at the Pheasant One Resort in St. Charles. Sponsored by Lindeman Chimney Company at cleanfireplace.com and PermaSeal Basement Systems at permaseal.net. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lisa is in Romeoville. Lisa, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. How can I help you?
Thank you so much for taking my call. Two unrelated questions, but one is, we have granite countertops in our kitchen, and the piece where the faucet is coming out of the granite, maybe 6-7 inches to the left and right, looks discolored or like there's mineral deposits or even looks warped, even though I don't think granite can warp. We do have hard water. I've tried all kinds of products and just wondering if there's anything that I can use to try to fix that or restore it somehow.
Are you getting, do you notice any water leaking or does that get all splashed when you're doing the dishes? Is there any evidence of any water underneath the kitchen cabinet?
No, we don't have leaking, but certainly there's splashing, and that's where it's most often splashed.
Right. And so
it kind of looks like a white film.
Right. What color is the granite?
It's dark. It's black and with little specks of lighter colors, but it's a dark.
Right.
Dark granite.
I mean, my guess is what you have is, it's saturated with water, which is where the discoloration is coming from. And the only way that we're going to really see if we can get it back to where it was is to do some sort of drying of it on the top. I'm just trying to think of the best way to do this because the problem is it's your kitchen sink. You need to use it a lot, right?
Right.
There's no chemical or anything I can tell you to put on there that'll clean it up. I mean, you can use cleaners and polishes like Granite Gold, which will do a nice job, but that's not going to do anything for the discoloration. What I would try is this as a test. If you could get some sort of, let's see how we're going to do this. Some sort of heat source, almost like a heat lamp that you could place on the granite, not super close, but if you could put it on there with a light so that there's some heat that could generate to see if you could dry out that stone, even just one section, and you left the light there for like an hour, let's say. Okay, you can buy a clamp-on heat lamp at the hardware store and buy the heat lamp, clamp it on the faucet. Make sure that light is a good foot away from the granite, and point it down in that area and feel it. Like if it gets super hot where you can't touch the granite with your hand, then back the light off a little bit. It needs to be warm and let that sit there for about an hour and see if by drying out the stone it changes the discoloration a little bit. I think it's just saturated.
Okay, so even to the touch, it's dry, but you're saying this will
it's inside
get into
the stone,
those pockets.
Right? Correct. But I need to be. I can't. When you, that lamp needs to be a good foot, if not 18 inches away. It needs to be warm, but not hot. That if you put your hand on the granite, you know you can't touch it.
Okay, and then if we clamp it on the faucet, that won't be enough distance. So just figure another way to
Like, is there a cabinet nearby that you could clamp it on?
There's a cabinet right above, but the edges. I don't know. We'll figure out.
Right, but it just give it about an hour and see. And I think that's the best it's going to be.
Okay. All right, and then this another unrelated thank you question. So barkeeper's friend, I've not used it, but everyone's talked about it for a million years.
Yep.
But it comes in like powders and foams and liquids, and they have it for kitchens and bathrooms and pots and pans. Is it, and I'm not saying for the granite, but is there just one all-purpose you can use for all these things, or should you buy separate?
Well,
do you like that product?
Yeah, I love the barkeeper's friend. It's not for granite. I use it for polishing pots and pans and getting stainless steel really clean. I use the powder, which I really like. And if you use that on your, if you have pots and pans that have kind of a residue on there with a Scotch-Brite pad and a little elbow grease, you'll be amazed at how it shines everything up and cleans it up really well. But you have to be, mindful of what you're using it on, because it is and can be an abrasive material. So you have to pay attention to the types of surfaces you're using it on and only use it on what it's recommended for. But I do like the product. Lisa, thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just trying to get as many people on as I can. This is Frank in Naperville. Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about drywall. I moved into a house that was built in the 70s, and the tape job is really horrible in numerous amount of rooms in the house, in the hallways, in the bedroom, in the kitchen. In addition to the tape job being poor, there's a lot of dimples, almost like someone took a hammer and just tapped a drywall, just small dimples all over. And I was wondering, is it cheaper to replace a drywall or to repair it?
Is it cheaper to replace it? No, I mean, replacing it would be a ton of money. I think if you got a really good painting contractor to come in and assess the walls and could do the, some skim coating and then, even some additional taping as necessary, you could get the finished job that you're looking for. The dimples could be from screws holding the dishwasher in place, the drywall in place, from depressions of those screws. And maybe, it was just, like you said, a poor tape job, but a good painting contractor can fix all this, and that's way cheaper than trying to replace all the drywall. Frank, thanks so much for the phone call. This is Sharon in Schaumburg. Hi, Sharon. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I have a problem in my two bathrooms that are back-to-back in the wall. I hear a clicking sound when I turn the water on or after the water's been running a while.
The hot water or the cold water or both?
Both. And a couple of days ago, I heard like ice breaking and falling in there.
In the wall?
In the wall.
Oh, wow. And everything's working now after the really cold weather. You're not having a problem there.
I had my son here, and he checked. There's no place where anything is leaking. I just wonder, what do I do? Just let it go till I see water?
How long has this been going on?
I'm not sure. I would say this week.
Oh, the clicking sound has been this week?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not anything that's been going on for years.
I don't think so.
Okay. I mean, the clicking...
I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, the clicking sound, it could be the It could be the pipes expanding and contracting as water flows through them. But now, since it's warmed up, is it still happening?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we may need to address that area where the wall is, and maybe somebody has to open it up to find out what's going on. I would be concerned that, you know, if there's some break in that area, I mean, they're back to back, so that's an interior wall, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
I was afraid about opening up the walls because, I mean, that would mean I have tile on the walls.
On both bathrooms?
Right.
Can all the way up, or is there a certain part where you can get over the top of the tile?
Halfway up.
Okay. Well, I mean, we can cut a hole halfway up and just expose the drywall, and then they can use a camera or poke their head in to see what's going on, to see if there's a problem. I mean, the ice breaking up and falling inside worries me a little bit of that noise, and the fact that it's brand new, I think, would be wise to have someone come and do that and see what's going on inside that wall.
Okay, is there any way one of my sons could do that? Or,
well, I mean, I don't know what their capability is, but if they were to cut a hole in the drywall above the tile, like just a couple inches above, and create a hole big enough that they can either get their noodle in there to look and see what's going on, or they have these little cameras that you can connect to a phone, or even these other, what they call sewer cameras inside there, to kind of see what's going on inside the wall, that would make a lot of sense. And I think that if this is a new sound that you haven't heard before, it would make a lot of sense to get that looked at right now. Sharon, thanks so much for the phone call. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio is just a few minutes left in the show. John Williams coming our way. This is Dan in St. Charles. Dan, you're on WGN.
Hey, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The question I have is, this morning, this is our second winter in the house. We have a bathroom on the second floor. It has a window. It started leaking from the right top corner of the window. Went outside, looked around the window, and I noticed that there's kind of, you know, frozen water all going down the window.
Right.
And then along the side of it. All the other windows around the house don't have that similar issue. So went back in the bathroom. We have an exhaust fan above it. Went up in the attic. And I noticed that the exhaust fan, they have it exhausting what appears to be right out into the soffit or the roofline. So I'm wondering if that is an issue, that when we hit that exhaust fan, it's melting the water prematurely.
In other words, the hose of the fan is not vented all the way outside of the soffit vent. It just goes to the soffit where there's holes in it.
That's the way it looks. I don't see any kind of thing on the outside that looks like it's there meant for exhausting the fan. It looks like it just goes right into that soffit
that pocket
area there.
Yeah, that is that's kind of like a big no-no, because there's not, you know, you're going to have all this moisture. It's going to hit that soffit, which, you know, maybe vinyl or aluminum, that's going to be super cold, especially with the cold weather we just had. And that will immediately freeze. And then as the sun hits it and melts, it goes down the side of the house, it hits the window and goes. Is this a two-story house or single-story?
It's a two-story house.
Okay. You need to have, when it warms up, you need to have either an HVAC company or a siding company come and install a exterior vent cap that will be piped to the pipe and then mounted to the soffit, so that now when the air comes out, it goes through that flapper that'll open or close, whatever it may be. For soffits, they do make a specific one that has two flaps on it to open, and they're spring loaded. But that way, all the air that's coming out of the bathroom when the thing's getting vented will go out and not collect on the back side of that soffit. What worries me a little bit about that, Dan, is, you know, you could have some buildup of some moisture in there that could lead to a little mildew or mold on the wood. Is that is that tight enough in that spot where you can't quite see it all the way?
Well, I went up there, put my hand like on the attic floor and stuff, and checked the insulation and all that.
Fine.
All dry.
Okay, good. Well, good.
There, so, I guess the other question I have is temporarily, you know, considering the weather and stuff like that, should I disconnect that hose? And should I temporarily put a longer hose that just kind of reaches out and exhausts into the peak of the attic?
So because you'll still then you'll trap more moisture in the rest of there. What I would, you know, in a perfect world, temporarily, I'd love for you to cut a hole in the soffit and just have the hose hang out. You know, if you could get up there and even just take a panel down or something, just temporarily have the hose just hang down. Is it the back of the house?
It's the back of the house. There's a soffit vent that looks pretty close to probably where it's probably coming out of. So
right.
I can try to pop that off and, like you said, you know, try to pull that hose a little bit further through to just have it drop through that vent.
Just let it hang there, and then, you know, the thing is, you're going to want to address this pretty quick in the spring before a bird tries to make a nest in it.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Because they will. But that's what I would do.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Sounds great.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you calling this morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here with you. Am I taking a call? I'm taking a call. That's right. I'm taking a call. I'm taking Lori, who's in Crestwood. Hi, Lori. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. We have a three-step ranch, and we have hardwired detectors, one in our basement, one in our hallway to our bedrooms. And Thursday night, it went off. They went off with a sound that's not normal to my toast burning alarm. And so we ran around, checked for a fire, checked for a CO. I had a backup plugged into an outlet, so we knew it wasn't that. Once we realized we were safe, we unplugged the detectors, and we noticed a drip coming down from in the hallway from the bedrooms.
Right.
So my husband went up in the attic. He checked. He noticed frost on the roof. But we were just wondering, was it just condensation that shorted them?
Yeah, that's a very common problem, especially with extreme temperatures that we had. The attic, those attics are warmer than normal because the furnaces and the boilers have been running overtime. And so the excessive cold outside, you get this moisture buildup. And because of the metal and the piping that condensates, it dripped a little bit, hits the detectors and goes. Now, do we know the age of these detectors?
Well, the house is probably 25 years old. I believe they're original.
Yeah. I'd replace those because they last about 7 years.
Okay.
So I would do that. But I mean, for those that have newer ones, if you dry them out, they should be fine. But the fact that they're 25 years old, 7 to 10 years is the max on those. And so I would replace those to hardwired, new hardwired.
Okay. Okay, and our neighbor did say that the prior owner had mentioned to him when we told him our issue that it had gone off when it got really cold for him, too.
Yeah, so I would go ahead and replace those and be sure that everything's working just fine. Lori, thank you so much for being our last caller. Thank you all for listening. Lindsay for producing, and Joe and Don for news and sports this morning, and Brett for pushing all the buttons. We appreciate it. John Williams is standing by. Good morning again, John.
You got to go, man. You got places to be.
Places to be, people to see. Tell people what's coming up.
We will talk a little bit about the Fyre Festival documentaries. We'll do a little movie chat. I'm interested in what you did during the frozen fog and haze that was the last week.
Oh.
The Mincing Rascals will be part of the show. And we'll also talk to our old friend Sam Panionovich, who used to do sports here. We'll do some of those prop bets, some of the fun things to watch on the Super Bowl. So thank you, Mr. Manfredini.
Have a good show.